The Salliyatana Vibhanga Sutta.
That's right.
It's too many words strung together. Thus have I heard on one occasion the Blessed One was living at Sawati and Jetta's Grove, Anathan Pandika's Park. There he addressed the monks thus. Monks, venerable sir, they replied, the Blessed One said this. I shall teach you an exposition on the sixfold base. Listen and attend closely to what I shall say. Yes, venerable sir, the monks replied. The Blessed One said this. The six internal bases should be understood. The six external bases should be understood. The six classes of consciousness should be understood. The six classes of contact should be understood. The 18 kinds of mental exploration should be understood. The 36 positions of being should be understood. Therein, by depending on this, abandon that. There are the three foundations of mindfulness that a noble one cultivates. Cultivating which the Noble One is a teacher, fit to instruct a group. Among the teachers of training, it is he that is called the incomparable leader of persons to be tamed. This is the summary of the exposition of the sixfold base. The six internal bases should be understood, so it was said, and with reference to what was this said. There are the eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base, and mind base. So it was with reference to this that it was said the six internal bases should be understood. The six external bases should be understood, so it was said, and with reference to what was this said. There are the form base, the sound base, the odor base, the flavor base, the tangible base, and the mind object base. So it was with reference to this that it was said the six external bases should be understood. The six classes of consciousness should be understood, so it was said, and with reference to what was this said. There are the eye consciousness, the ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. So it was with reference to this that it was said the six classes of consciousness should be understood. The six classes of contact should be understood, so it was said, and with reference to what was this said. There are eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. So it was with reference to this that it was said the six classes of contact should be understood. The 18 kinds of mental exploration should be understood, so it was said, and with reference to what was this said. On seeing a form with the eye, one explores a form productive of joy. One explores a form productive of grief. One explores a form productive of equanimity. On hearing a sound with the ear, one explores a form productive of joy. I don't like the word explores. It implies you're just watching that instead of staying on your object of meditation. I think observes is a better word again. One observes a form productive of joy. One observes a form productive of grief. One observes a form productive of equanimity. On smelling an odor with the nose, one observes a form productive of joy. One observes a form productive of grief. One observes a form productive of equanimity. On tasting a flavor with the tongue, one observes a form productive of joy. One observes a form productive of grief. One observes a form productive of equanimity. On touching a tangible with the body, one observes a form productive of joy. One observes a form productive of grief. One observes a form productive of equanimity. On cognizing a mind object with mind, one observes a mind object productive of joy. One observes a mind object productive of grief. One observes a mind productive of equanimity. Thus, there are six kinds of exploration of joy, six kinds of exploration of grief, and six kinds of exploration of equanimity. That makes 18. So it was with reference to this that it was said the 18 kinds of mental exploration should be understood. I think I ought to write that in there. So when joy arises, you six are it. When grief arises, you six are it. When equanimity arises, you six are it. Why? So you don't have any attachment to it personally being yours. The 36 positions of being should be understood, so it was said, and with reference to what was this said. There are six kinds of joy based on the household life, and six kinds of joy based on renunciation. Based on the household life means just being really unaware and getting caught up in it. With renunciation, we're talking about using the six R's. There are six kinds of grief based on the household life at each one of the sense doors, and six kinds of grief based on renunciation, still using the six R's. There are six kinds of equanimity based on the household life, that's indifference, and the six kinds of equanimity based on the household life, that is balance, and using the six R's on these. Herein, there are six kinds of joy based on the household life. When one regards it as gain, the gain of forms cognizable by the eye that are wished for, desired, agreeable, gratifying, and associated with worldliness. Or when one recalls what formerly obtained that had passed, ceased, and changed, joy arises. Such joy is called the joy based on household life. When one regards a gain of sounds cognizable by the ear, the gain of odors cognizable by the nose, the gain of flavors cognizable by the tongue, the gain of tangible cognizable by the body, the gain of mind objects cognizable by mind, that are wished for, desired, agreeable, gratifying, and associated with worldliness. Or when one recalls what was formerly obtained that had passed, ceased, and changed, joy arises. So we're talking about taking things personally and not being aware of this as a process. The whole point of using the 6 R's is so that you are more and more aware of everything being part of a process that is impersonal. Such joy as this is called joy based on the household life. And there's a lot of suffering in that. When you take it personally, you want to hold on to it. When it changes, you get into grief. So, what we have to do is remember to use the 6 R's with your daily activities. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy anything. You can. Just don't do it personally. Joy can come up because of a nice smell. Okay, fine. 6 R's, allow it to be there. And let that nice odor be there without trying to push it away. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. We have to let go of supposed to's, which is a lot easier said than done, actually. There are these 6 kinds of joy based on the household life. Herein, there are 6 kinds of joy based on renunciation. When by knowing the impermanence, change, fading away, cessation of forms, one sees as it actually is with proper wisdom, that forms, both formally and now, are impermanent, and they're a form of suffering. It is still a form of disturbance. And subject to change, joy arises. Such joy as this is called joy based on renunciation. It's amazing when you, let's say, you smell a flower and it's really good. How fast do you start thinking of other things? Now, when you use the 6 R's, you can stay with that for a long time, as long as you feel like it, but it's not from attachment. It's from watching mind and watch how mind wants to run off and think about this and that. And it can be quite entertaining, especially when you catch it and 6 R it and come back. Realizing that everything is impermanent means you're not going to hold on to it. When by knowing the impermanence, change, fading away, and cessation of sounds or odors or flavors or tangibles or mind objects, one sees it as it actually is with proper wisdom, that these different sense doors, both formally and now, are all impermanent, suffering, subject to change. When you see that and realize that, joy arises because you're not being attached. Now we're talking about two different kinds of joy. Okay? We're talking about the awakening factor of joy, which doesn't have the excitement in it. Household life has lots of excitement in it. So your mind stays balanced. And quite often what can happen is, right after the joy arises, it'll be there for a period of time and fade away. Then your mind becomes peaceful, very tranquil, very comfortable, and your mind naturally has equanimity in it. Such joy as this is called the joy based on renunciation. The household kind of joy, or the first kind of three kinds of joy that I've talked about before: goosebumps, flash of lightning, having waves of joy come over you. They all have different degrees of excitement with it. But the kind of joy that we're talking about with renunciation, there's not that excitement in it, but there is contentment. Okay? These are the six kinds of joy based on renunciation. Herein, what are the six kinds of grief based on the household life? When one regards it as non-gain, the non-gain of forms cognizable by the eye that are wished for, desired, agreeable, gratifying, and associated with worldliness. Hiding your eyes because there's a sight that you don't want to see, and there's aversion in your mind. Every now and then I get off on a tangent about going to autopsies. And I see in some people's mind, ooh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to see a dead body. Well, welcome to life. You're going to get to, whether it's all dolled up and in a casket or not. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see how body works, how everything is in harmony with each other so that your body can function properly. What happens when you get out of harmony? So the idea of this being non-gain turns into equanimity. That can be, somebody really gets splattered. Bones are coming out of different places that it shouldn't be coming out of, and things like that. But to a person that's practiced this meditation and knows how to 6R, there's not the, ooh, I hate that, I don't want to see that. There's the acceptance that things are as they are. Or when one recalls what was formerly not obtained, that had passed, ceased, and changed, grief arises. such grief as this is called the grief based on the household life. When you're taking it personally, you get caught up in your habitual emotional tendency, and you try to control your mind with your thoughts. That just keeps that grief coming over and over. An interesting thing with grief, I work with people in hospitals a lot. I work with people that were dying at home with hospice. And the grief that happens after that person dies, what is grief? It manifests in all kinds of ways. Grief can be anger, it can be sadness, it can be fear, it can be anxiety, it can manifest in all kinds of ways. But being able to see that strong attachment, I don't like this, I don't want it to be like this, you cause yourself immeasurable amounts of suffering. So, these are things that are going to pop up in your daily life, one time or another. You have to be able to recognize, release it. Don't try to make it stop. Just release it, let it be there, but don't keep your attention on it. Relax. Lighten your mind. Come back to wishing somebody well, however that happens. When one regards as non-gain the non-gain of sounds cognizable by the ear, or the non-gain by odors cognizable by the nose, the non-gain of flavors cognizable by the tongue, the non-gain of tangibles cognizable by the mind, the non-gain of mind objects cognizable by the mind. That's the biggie. That's the one we have to watch. That are wished for, desired, agreeable, gratifying, associated with worldliness. This is me, this is mine, this is who I am. And you get into your emotional, habitual tendency, and you can cause yourself huge amounts of suffering by fighting with an idea or a memory and trying to control it and trying to make it stop and pushing against it. It doesn't work. Grief manifests in so many different ways. You have to be out. Notice how your mind grabs onto it and becomes tight, and how you have repeat thoughts. That's the sign that you're attached. And letting go of that. I had a friend that her husband was going to go into surgery. And it wasn't even major surgery. It was just a kind of a little thing. And I went to see her when he was in the hospital. He was going to have the operation in the morning. And she was a wreck. Oh, worry, worry, worry. I asked her, what good does that do you to worry about it? Well, what happens if he dies? Well, what happens if he does? Does your worrying about maybe that'll happen make your mind any happier right now? Why are you indulging yourself in those kind of thoughts and feelings and trying to control them and hating them, but enjoying them at the same time? You like to worry. But it doesn't do you any good. It just makes you miserable. You're going to wind up not sleeping all night. When he comes out of surgery, you're going to look terrible. So, don't do that anymore. Eventually, she saw the sense of it, and actually even started laughing at herself for getting caught up in that. Or when one recalls what was formerly not obtained that has past ceased and changed, grief arises. Getting what one doesn't want, not getting what one wants, that causes pain. That is suffering. That's one of the definitions of suffering. Such grief as this is called the grief based on household life. There are these six kinds of grief based on the household life. Herein, there are six kinds of grief based on renunciation. When, by knowing the impermanence, change, fading away, cessation of forms, one sees as it actually is with proper wisdom that forms, both formally and now, are impermanent, suffering and subject to change, one generates a longing for the supreme liberation. Thus, when shall I enter upon and abide in that base that the noble ones now enter upon and abide in? In one who generates thus a longing for that supreme liberation, grief arises. With that longing for condition, such grief as this is called grief based on renunciation. When, by knowing the impermanence, change, fading away, and cessation of sounds, of odors, of flavors, of tangibles, of mind objects, one sees these as they actually are with proper wisdom, both formally and now, everything is impermanent, suffering, and subject to change. Everything that makes your mind move is a form of suffering, unsatisfactoriness, and it gets tiresome. But too many times people try to control their feelings with their thoughts. And when that happens, you put in too much energy. And when you put in too much energy, you get even more restless. And when you get more restless, you get more frustrated and sad. And then you start blaming yourself because you can't make it stop. It's a nasty cycle. That's when you have to develop your sense of humor about how crazy your mind is. You'd think after a while you'd learn from doing the same thing over and over and wanting the outcome to be different. One generates a longing for the supreme liberations thus. When shall I enter upon and abide in that base that the noble ones now enter upon and abide in? That one tiny, and it only has to be one thought going into your sitting, that one tiny desire, that longing just to have it happen enough, is going to stop it from happening. That's why you hear me say that it's real good before you start your meditation to tell yourself, I don't care what happens next. It doesn't matter what happens next. My job is only to observe, not to analyze, not to figure out, just to observe. Use the six R's. Grief always arises with that longing condition. Always. Such grief as this is called the grief based on renunciation. These are the six kinds of grief based on renunciation. Why doesn't it just stop and let me alone? I want to be peaceful. I want to be kind. I want... Who? That's why your job is just observation. That's it. Herein, what are the six kinds of equanimity based on the household life? On seeing a form with the eye, equanimity arises in a foolish, infatuated, ordinary person. In an untaught, ordinary person who has not conquered his limitations and conquered the result of action, and who is blind to danger. So it's not really equanimity we're talking about. We are talking about indifference, not paying attention to how these things arise, and getting caught in wanting to control. It's one of the biggies, want to control. Everybody has it. We want things to be the way we want them to be when we want them that way. And when it doesn't match our desire, we try harder to make that control happen. Or we start ignoring and distracting ourselves in other ways. And that's the danger, because your mindfulness disappears. It's not there anymore. Without mindfulness, it's not true equanimity, it's indifference. Such equanimity as this does not transcend the form. That's why it's called indifference based on the household life. On hearing a sound with the ear, smelling an odor with the nose, tasting a flavor with the tongue, touching a tangible with the body, on cognizing a mind object with mind. Indifference arises in a foolish, infatuated, ordinary person, in an untaught, ordinary person who's not conquered his limitations or conquered the results of action, and who is blind to the danger. Such indifference as this does not transcend mind objects. Even the tiniest little thoughts have disturbance in them, and they cause some suffering. That's why you need the six R. There are some kinds of thoughts that are observation thoughts. My mind is really quiet right now. My back is very straight. My mind is very clear. But it only happens one time. Don't worry about that. You can 6R it if you want, but it doesn't matter. There is no craving in it because there's just observation. That's why indifference based on the household life. These are the six kinds of indifference based on the household life. Herein, there are six kinds of equanimity based on renunciation. When by knowing the impermanence change. Now this is a formula that Bhikkhu Bodhi uses a lot. And it does come from the Visuddhimagga. That's one of the reasons that there's always been such a stress on seeing everything as impermanent and suffering. And it's not that it's wrong, it's fine. It's just that it's an over emphasis on seeing impermanence and making a big deal out of it in your mind, when in fact you're seeing impermanence all the time. When you 6R, you're seeing impermanence. So there's a kind of seeing impermanence that has, I'm seeing this and I understand this, but it's an intellectual knowledge. It's when you really see how the links work that you see that impermanence happening fast. And you see the impersonal nature of everything. That's more important than just seeing impermanence. Such equanimity as this transcends the form. That's why it's called equanimity based on renunciation. It's equanimity with true mindfulness in seeing how the process works. When by knowing the impermanence, change, fading away, and cessation of sounds, odors, flavors, tangibles, and mind objects, one sees them as they actually are with proper wisdom, that mind objects, both formally and now, are impermanent, suffering, subject to change. That's one of the reasons that I don't particularly like this formula, because it just stops at that and doesn't say, and seeing the impersonal nature of everything. That's how equanimity arises. Such equanimity as this transcends the mind object, or all of those sense door objects. That's why it's called equanimity based on renunciation. Seeing it as it actually is, it's just there. It's okay for it to be there. Don't keep your attention on it. These are the six kinds of equanimity based on renunciation. So it was with reference to this that it was said the 36 positions of being should be understood. Therein, by depending on this, abandon that. By depending on what? The use of the 6 R's. That way you automatically abandon that. So it was with reference to this that it was said, here, by depending and relying on the 6 kinds of joy based on renunciation, abandon and surmount the 6 kinds of joy based on the household life. It is thus they are abandoned. It is thus that they are surmounted. By depending and relying on the 6 kinds of grief based on renunciation, abandon and surmount the 6 kinds of grief based on the household life. It is thus they are abandoned. It is thus they are surmounted. by depending and relying on the six kinds of equanimity based on renunciation, abandon and surmount the six kinds of equanimity based on the household life. It is thus they are abandoned. It is thus they are surmounted. By depending and relying on the six kinds of joy based on renunciation, abandon and surmount the six kinds of grief based on renunciation. It is thus they are abandoned. It is thus they are surmounted. By depending and relying on the six kinds of equanimity based on renunciation, abandon and surmount the six kinds of joy based on renunciation. It all comes down to having that balanced mind, not taking things personally. You're still going to have some ups and downs in life. It doesn't matter, but they're not going to be massive. The man that left today, he told me when we were going down that he'd been to India and he had gotten hepatitis, and he almost had to have a liver transplant, and he was an emotional wreck. So when he called his mom and he says, "Well, I've got this diverticulitis, we've got to come home and take care of it," she said, "Well, how's your mind doing?" And he says, "It's fine. No problem. It's just something that has to be taken care of. I'm not excited about it." And then he started saying, "You know, that was really amazing. I didn't realize that what I was doing here was developing that true, real sense of equanimity in my mind." It is thus they are abandoned. It is thus they are surmounted. There is equanimity that is diversified based on change, and there's equanimity that is unified based on unity. That's the one we're after. You're seeing change all the time. You don't have to make it a big deal. Because when you make it a big deal, you start focusing on that too much. But the idea of being based on unity, of being based on harmony, that helps your mind stay in a state of balance. And what, monks, is equanimity that is based on, diversified and based on change? There's equanimity regarding forms, sounds, flavors, odors, tangibles. This, monk, is equanimity on a different basis. And what, monk, is equanimity that is unified? That's the one that I'm interested in. Based on unity, there is the equanimity regarding the base of infinite space, the base of infinite consciousness, the base of nothingness, the base of neither perception nor non-perception. This is equanimity that is unified. Why? You don't have the other sense doors to distract you. How many times do you hear me say, "You don't have a body now"? "Oh, but I got a pain in my bottom." No, it's actually in your mind. Develop that equanimity towards that feeling. Here, monks, by depending and relying on equanimity that's unified, based on unity, abandon and surmount equanimity that is on change, on the six sense doors, or the five sense doors. It is just, this is abandon. it is thus this is surmounted. Monks, by depending and relying on non-identification, abandon and surmount equanimity that is unified, based on unity. It is thus abandoned. It is thus surmounted. So it was with reference to this that it was said herein, by depending on this, abandon that. Depending on your mindfulness, abandon everything. Let it be. You're just supposed to observe. Not supposed to make it be something. There are three foundations of mindfulness that the noble ones cultivate. Cultivating which the noble one is a teacher fit to instruct a group. So it was said, and with reference to what was this said, here, monks compassionate and seeking their welfare. The teacher teaches the Dhamma to the disciples out of compassion. This is for your welfare. This is for your happiness. His disciples do not want to hear or give ear or exert their minds to understand. They err, turn aside from the teacher's dispensation. With that, the Tathagata is not satisfied and feels no satisfaction. Yet he dwells unmoved, mindful and fully aware. This, monks, is called the first foundation of mindfulness that the noble ones cultivate, cultivating which the noble one is one fit to instruct a group. Furthermore, monks, compassionate and seeking their welfare, the teacher teaches the Dhamma to his disciples out of compassion. This is for your welfare. This is for your happiness. Some of his disciples will not hear and give ear and exert their mind to understand. They err and turn aside from the teacher's dispensation. Some of his disciples will hear and give ear and exert their minds to understand. They do not err and turn aside from the teacher's dispensation. With that, the Tathagata is not satisfied and feels no satisfaction. And he's not satisfied and feels no satisfaction, remaining free from both satisfaction and dissatisfaction. He dwells in equanimity, mindful and fully aware. This, monks, is called the second foundation of mindfulness that the noble ones cultivate, cultivating which the noble one is a teacher fit to instruct a group. Furthermore, monks, compassionate and seeking their welfare, the teacher teaches the Dhamma to the disciples out of compassion. This is for your welfare. This is for your happiness. His disciples will hear and give ear and exert their mind to understand. They do not err and turn aside from the teacher's dispensation. With that, the Tathagata is satisfied and feels satisfaction, yet he dwells unmoved, mindful and fully aware. This, monks, is called the third foundation of mindfulness that noble ones cultivate, cultivating which the noble one is a teacher fit to instruct a group. So it was with reference to this that it was said, there are these three foundations that the noble one cultivates, cultivating which the noble one is a teacher fit to instruct a group. This is one of the qualities that you need to look for in a teacher. Among the teachers of training, it is he that is called the incomparable leader of persons to be tamed. So it was said, and with reference to what was this said, guided by the elephant tamer monks, the elephant to be tamed goes in one direction, east, west, north, or south. Guided by the horse tamer monks, the horse to be tamed goes in one direction, east, west, north, or south. Guided by an ox tamer, the ox to be tamed goes in one direction, east, west, north, or south. Monks guided by the Tathagata, accomplished and fully awakened, the person to be tamed goes in eight directions. Possessed of material form, he sees forms. This is the first direction. Not perceiving forms internally, he sees forms externally. This is a second direction. He is resolved only upon the beautiful, that means the fourth jhana. This is the third direction. With the complete surmounting of gross perceptions of form, with the disappearance of gross perceptions of sensory impact, aware that space is infinite, he enters upon and abides in the base of infinite space. This is the fourth direction. By completely surmounting the base of infinite space, aware that consciousness is infinite, he enters upon and abides in the base of infinite consciousness. This is the fifth direction. By completely surmounting the base of infinite consciousness, aware that there is nothing, he enters upon and abides in the base of nothingness. This is the sixth direction. By completely surmounting the base of nothingness, he enters upon and abides in the base of neither perception nor non-perception. This is the seventh direction. By completely surmounting the base of neither perception nor non-perception, he entered upon and abides in the cessation of perception, feeling, and consciousness. This is the eighth direction. Monks guided by the Tathagata, accomplished and fully awakened, the person to be tamed goes in these eight directions. So it was with reference to this that it was said, among the teachers of training, it is he that is called incomparable, leader of persons to be tamed. That's what the Blessed One said. The monks were satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words. So this gives you a little bit different perspective on what the Buddha was actually teaching. And the eight directions is brilliant. And guess what I'm showing you? I'm showing you the eight directions. Oh, isn't that nice? This is a sutta I haven't given in a long time, years. Yeah. It's the eight directions are learning how to go through the jhanas. Let's share some merit then. May suffering ones be suffering free and the fear-struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief, and may all beings find relief. May all beings share this merit that we have thus acquired for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness. May beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit of ours. May they long protect the Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.